Well, before we dive into the sermon for this morning, I feel it incumbent upon me to point something out to you guys, because I'm looking out there, I see, just need to point out that orange is not a liturgical color. I will point out, though, that the blue for the season of Advent does look remarkably like Duke blue. But we welcome everybody, so all you orange people. Well, here we are in the second week of the season of Advent and the second week of our Unwrapped sermon series. The title of the series, of course, Unwrapped, is because we're quickly heading toward Christmas. We're quickly heading toward the celebration of our Savior's birth, and it's supposed to be the happiest, most wonderful time of the year, right? That's what we hear in songs. We hear about, Pastor Laura Allen mentioned last week, that we have this, sometimes we feel this pressure of to have our events and our families reflect and mirror like a Norman Rockwell painting. But that's usually not what most of us get. We don't usually get hanging out roasting chestnuts by an open fire and Jack Frost nipping at our nose. That fairy tale kind of stuff, that's not what most of us get. For some of us, the holidays are tough. And we get reminded of losses that we felt and we continue to feel. And it can be tough. In fact, I've gotten to the place where once we get to the season of Advent, and once all the trees and the decoration come out and we start moving toward the holidays, I've gotten to the point where I brace. I brace because it seems like every year, about this time, somewhere, somehow, tragedy strikes. And I don't know, maybe it's not more prevalent now than at other times of the year, but it sure seems like it to me. It seems like this time of year, things just tend to happen. I remember just 3 years ago, second Sunday of Advent, we gathered here, and it was right after Sandy Hook happened, and our hearts were breaking. And this year, it's Paris and San Bernardino, and there's concern about the global advance of terrorism, and there's all this divisive public debate about all kinds of things. It seems like all we ever do anymore, if you watch the news, is just argue with each other. And it just, I don't know, it just feels like a whole lot of darkness. All around us, there's evidence of this brokenness, this extreme brokenness and the sinfulness of our world. And there's plenty of proof that darkness is at work in the world. There's the darkness of death, and we've all felt that. We've lost loved ones, and we feel that a little more acutely during the holiday seasons. And then there's also the darkness of sin. And neither of those is discriminatory. They affect us all. And we might tell ourselves that our darkness pales in comparison to people like Adam Lanza or Saeed Farouk, but the reality is, if we get really honest with ourselves, we know that there's plenty of darkness inside us, too. We're broken. We're sinful. And it's not just all around us, it's inside us, too. And none of us are immune. We're all hiding some sort of darkness within. And it seems like in the face of the darkness that's within us and the face of the darkness that's around us in the world and all the arguing and fighting and violence and darkness and death and brokenness, it seems like we are powerless to do anything about it. We can't do it. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't dispel the light on our own. And this time every year, it seems we get reminded of that. The darkness rolls in, and we humans prove over and over and over again how much we need a Savior. We need light. We need a light to shine in the darkness and the mess we've made of the world. I mention all that not because I wanted to be a downer, but because I think maybe our gospel lesson this morning speaks to that just a little bit, and hopefully it'll be a word of hope for all of us. So this comes from Luke chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has looked favorably on His people and redeemed them. He's raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke through the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and He has remembered His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message: help is on the way. Can you do that for me? Help is on the way. I can't remember if I've ever shared this with you before, but when I was a kid, one of my favorite TV shows was Gilligan's Island. And maybe part of it had to do with Ginger and Marianne, I'm not sure. But it wasn't just that. I liked the show. And you know the storyline. Gilligan and the crew are shipwrecked, and they're on this deserted island somewhere off the coast of Hawaii, and their ship is completely demolished. There's not much left of it. So they spend the next 15 years trying to come up with a way to get off the island. And one, you know, Gilligan, he's, bless his heart, how we say it in the South. Bless Gilligan's heart. He's klutzy and he's dopey and he ends up foiling a lot of perfectly good plans. So they have this liability in Gilligan, but they also have the professor. And the professor is brilliant. I mean, this man can make a radio out of a coconut. He is pretty smart dude. But even he can't figure out a way to get off the island. And it's not for lack of trying, because the show lasted for 3 seasons, 101 episodes, at least that many failed attempts to get off this island, and still they're stuck. They strain and they try, and they all kinds of different plans are hatched. The professor, all of them work together. But ultimately, they are helpless. Utterly helpless to get themselves off the island. They can't rescue themselves. They're stuck, and they can't do anything about it. You know how they were rescued? Anybody remember the last episode? Here's how they were rescued. It wasn't from anybody on the island. They didn't hatch a great plan. In fact, it turns out it was Gilligan who accidentally set a fire, and the smoke was seen by a naval helicopter, and the helicopter came to rescue them. The helicopter came to them. The helicopter came where they were, just as they were. The helicopter came to them, and the helicopter came for them. It was the only way they could be rescued. Are you with me? Everybody's following this Gilligan story, right? Help came to them. Help came for them. Enough about Gilligan's Island, because this morning we have something much more serious to talk about, right? We have to talk about salvation. And we, all the darkness around us, and we're in the season of Advent. We get to talk about Advent. The Advent, the coming of our Lord. We were talking earlier about sin and death and darkness and how they seem to be, to have free reign in the world, and about how we are stranded in that darkness, and there's really not anything we can do about it. We don't have much help from within ourselves. We're stuck. And we can put our best and brightest on the job, but if there's anything to be done about our darkness, it won't be done by us. Because we're just not capable. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent, the word, comes from the Latin word adventus. It means coming. And we're waiting on something that is coming. More accurately, we're waiting on someone who is coming. Our help is on the way. Our help is adventus. And if we're going to be rescued from this darkness all around us and the darkness from within us, it'll have to be by somebody on the outside, somebody who comes to us, and somebody who comes for us. But not just anybody who comes to us and for us, because this person has to be able to be powerful enough to do something about the darkness if we're going to be rescued. Now, our scripture lesson this morning comes from the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, and it's just before Jesus is born. Now, the history before this is the people of Israel have been waiting for centuries on a Savior. They've been waiting and talking about, prophets have foretold the coming of this Messiah who was going to be the light to the nations, who was going to save and deliver. They knew they needed a Savior. They were waiting and longing for this Savior, for that day when the Savior would be born. And so this passage starts out by talking about how imminent that event is. Jesus is about to be born. The very next passage right after this is Jesus is going to be born. But notice in this passage what Luke tells us in verse 78. Here's what it says. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The dawn from on high will break upon us. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Because when dawn comes, so does light. It's always darkest just before dawn, but when the sun starts to come up, then the light has to flee. It's dispelled. In other words, help is on the way. That's what Luke is telling us. Help is on the way. It's imminent. Our Savior is about to be born. Help is adventus, coming. You know, at the beginning of all time, the very first thing that God did in the act of creation, before God did anything else, God first had to do something about the darkness. First words God ever spoke in Scripture were, "Let there be light." God looked over the face of the deep, looked over this vast and pervasive nothingness, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Our God is powerful enough that at the sound of His voice, the darkness has to vanish. Now, later on in the creation story, God created us. And God gave us this gift called free will and the freedom to choose between the darkness and the light. And we didn't do so well with that freedom. We chose darkness. We sinned. And ever since, the history of God's interaction with us has been the history of God trying to coax us away from the darkness and into the glorious light. God sent prophets and preachers and messengers trying to coax us away from the darkness and into the light. Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Obadiah and Micah and Ezekiel and John the Baptist, all these messengers who were trying to lure us away from the darkness and into God's glorious light. And how did we respond to all them? Not very well. We killed some of them. We didn't listen to the other ones. They were trying to help, they were trying to lead us to the light, but we rebuked them. And then God looked down, and though it might not be in your translations, here's what God said. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And God did. God came to us. God came for us. God became Emmanuel, God with us. God put on flesh, incarnation. Now, it's easy to miss at first how this happened, because as we said a few weeks ago, Christ the King Sunday, Jesus is not born like most kings are born. He flies under the radar. I mean, it won't be that eventful. He'll be born in a barn to an unwed teenage mother, and they're so poor that they can't even afford a crib. So they have to empty out an animal's feeding trough for Jesus to sleep. That's how uneventful this thing is. Not many people are going to recognize this baby as the Savior of the world, but this is how God does things, and only a few dirt poor shepherds are even going to notice very much that something's happened. And the only thing that gives them a clue that the Savior has been born is that there's this unusual star, this incredibly bright light that's not usually there, hanging out over Bethlehem, and that star becomes a guide for the shepherds and for the wise men who will later come. That star, that unusually bright star that shines in the darkness over Bethlehem. That star is going to be a beacon of light in the night, but it won't be the brightest light in Bethlehem. The brightest light in Bethlehem will be lying there helpless in a manger. He's helpless, but the irony is he's the only one who can do anything about the darkness. He's the light of the world is dawning in a manger in Bethlehem. He seems helpless, this little baby, but he's the only one who can do anything about the darkness that's within us and the darkness that's all around us. He's the one about whom the prophet Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." This baby is the one about whom the Gospel of John writes, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." This one, this baby, is the one about whom Luke wrote, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace." The light is coming. Help is adventus. Help is coming. Help is on the way. Now, the darkness around us is pervasive. And every time we turn on the TV, it seems like there's more tragedy. There's more violence and bloodshed and all these people on the screens yelling and arguing. And it's real easy to despair. It's really easy. It would be really easy to lose hope with all the things going on in the world. But we're given a promise. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn is about to break on us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Not violence and war and bloodshed, but in the way of peace. So when you turn on the TV and you see all kinds of things about ISIS and mass murders, and just know that that darkness will not have the last word. The light is on the way. Help is on the way. There's about to be the dawn from on high that's going to break upon us, and it will give light to those who sit in darkness and who struggle in the shadow of death. That light will rescue us. Our help is on the way. A light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.